This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You want diversity?
Weekends on Joy.
Something for everybody.
Great topics, great radio.
This is Word for Word, coming to you from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
Good morning and welcome to Word for Word. Dean Beck with you. And today I am very pleased to introduce you to a man who will be my co-host for the day. His name is Avi Miller. Welcome.
Good morning, Dean.
Now, you are a recent volunteer here at Joy.
I am.
And have put your hand up for helping me out with this gig, so more for you. Let's explore a little bit about you, if you don't mind. Where are you from initially?
I was born in Israel, mm-hmm. grew up in South Africa, and I moved to Australia 13 years ago.
Gay, Jewish, South African. There's a great big hatred double coupon.
Yes.
Very good. How have you managed to get through life and still be in one sane piece?
Strong family, oddly enough, from the Jewish background, gets a strong sense of community. Moving to Australia was quite a good step for me.
What, to get away from the family? Or
no? No, but...
To grow.
I still do speak to my lovely Jewish mother at least once a week, so I can't get away that far. But no, I think it's just a strong sense of who I am and where I sit.
And you come from a fairly Orthodox background.
I do, yes. So yeah. I come from an Orthodox Eastern European background. So both sides of the family, Orthodox Jews.
One of these days we might get you on to have a chat about that. I guess a culture that I know very little about, but it fascinates me. I've seen quite a few docos with, you know, interesting outfits, and you were telling me about the little box on the head. What's that called?
The tefillin?
Yes, with the prayers in it. I didn't know that there were prayers inside that box.
Yes, there are prayers inside that box. And there are prayers inside the box on the arm as well. There are prayers on side boxes in your front door for your house.
Avi Miller is my co-host today on Word for Word, and you've been doing a lot here at Joy regarding sort of tech support, haven't you?
Yes, I come from an IT background, so when I first volunteered at Joy, I volunteered for the outside broadcast team. In my background, the outside broadcast equipment has lots of buttons that light up when you push them, and mm-hmm. I'm quite a big fan of buttons that light up when you push them.
Great.
So I volunteered
for that. It's about pushing them in the right order, though, surely.
Yes, and twiddling the knobs in the right direction mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. plugging things in the right place.
You also have a background in the arts.
Yes, so I was a dancer when I was a kid. I've done acting on stage. I've done backstage work as well. So I did a lot of lighting and directing in high school.
Creativity and IT are, for me, something that's a little bit like sports and the arts. Aren't the natural synergistic partners? How do you marry the two?
Well, I'm not a programmer in IT, so I'm a business analyst and I'm a consultant.
A fix-it man.
Yeah, I'm a fix-it man. So creativity is very important there when you're coming into large corporations and, you know, they're suffering either under a process problem or a IT problem, and you sort of have to think outside the box and you have to say, how do we adjust your software for your process or your process for the software? And I always maintain, because I used to be a trainer as well, that you should do as I say, not as I do, because I do this very creatively, and I tend to lead people through solutions from a brainstorm point of view as opposed to a process point of view. Uh-huh. I'm not terribly logical. As you know, my partner will say, I can't do math before 1 o'clock in the morning or after 1 o'clock in the morning either. So.
It is our absolute pleasure to have you on Word for Word, and thank you for being a part of this show. You are listening to Word for Word across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Joy 94.9. Rooftop is a discussion and activity group for same-sex attracted girls aged 18 to 30 who meet on the first Thursday of every month. It doesn't matter if you're gay, bi, trans or unsure. Come along and meet other like-minded girls and make some friends too. For more info, email rooftop@also.org.au or check out the Rooftop Melbourne Facebook page to see what the girls are up to.
Yeah. It certainly is Word for Word. Dean Beck with you, Avi Miller, my co-host. And our first guest has gone AWOL, but it is my great pleasure to welcome to the show Simon Taylor, who is doing a show titled 10 Things I Know About You. Welcome to Word for Word.
Thanks for bumping me up in the interview rankings.
An absolute pleasure. Simon, you love psychology.
I do.
You freak.
It's my thing.
It's your thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, psychologists always get that question asked of them, are you psychoanalyzing me? You must be familiar with that.
Yeah, the short answer is yes. I guess I've always had that. I've always had that over-analytical mind. So when I was, you know, when you're young, when you're like 5 or 6 years old, you always ask, why? Why is that? Why do I have to? Why? I never grew out of that. So I constantly ask why. And I'm very used to trying to understand everything and get people's context and explain everything. So that's where it comes from. And that's what this show is about. It's 10 Things I Know About You is about me being over analytical, breaking apart every single little thing I can about, you know, relationships, about how we're meant to be happy in a modern world when we're surrounded by all these things that are meant to make us happy, and how much we expect, like, oh, my coffee's not just perfect temperature, like breaking apart that, why we expect so much, and every little aspect of life, just going crazy with it. So it's called 10 Things, to make it simple, but it's like a million things. And in the end of the show, it shows how that kind of ruins me a little bit.
Can you turn it off? Do you have moments of down?
No, I can't. I try so hard. Even last night, even when I'm actively trying to settle down and say, right, I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. I'm going to wind down. I'm not going to watch anything. I'm just going to settle down. It doesn't work. I was still up to 2 a.m. or something like that, because I can't watch entertainment because I perform so much. I do stand up and I do improv and I do music and I write songs and I do all these sorts of things that I can't. There's no entertainment I can watch and switch off. I can't sit through Neighbours. I'm sorry. I can't watch it.
I can't either, no. For other reasons.
But there's just no settle down for me, because I'm constantly wanting to understand things.
Yes, and this is my first time on air. So last night, as I was lying in bed going, I should actually get some sleep, I was thinking, well, I wonder how Dean's going to introduce me. I wonder what I'm going to say in response to that. I wonder what he's going to say in
my
response.
You've got through it all.
I'm not doing too badly, I hope. Yes, so I know where you're coming
it's
from.
It's easy to be preoccupied, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Simon, sometimes there's not an answer. Sometimes the answer is there is no answer.
Yeah, but that's the fun bit. I mean, in fact, in science, I remember one of my psychology lecturers saying, the dirty secret to science is that there are no answers. There's just more refined questions.
Yes.
So you just keep on going, well, we can ask this question better now.
Yeah. And in fact, we have 10 ways of asking the same question
exactly.
Now.
Yeah,
because exactly. We've looked further at it.
Yes, exactly. So that's, I know that's sort of broad terms, but you can always just enjoy that process of asking rather than really needing an answer.
Now, you're a poetry slam champion. Mm-hmm. Exactly what is that?
Well, poetry slams are basically a way that poetry is performed live. So it's set up as a competition, so poets slam against each other and the audience votes on who moved them the most. So it's a way to, it's basically a device to bring people to poetry, and it's a gateway drug, really. So if you start going to a competition, people like competitions, and they go, well, I like that competition, I like poetry, I'm going to just watch the shows, and now I like the shows, I'm going to read poetry. So it's a great way to get people into poetry. So these slams are set up to promote poetry, and I did the Australian Poetry Slam, and I won the Victorian.
Congratulations!
So yeah,
so this is almost like a rap battle without the music.
Does it have to rhyme?
No. I don't really equate it with rap at all, because there's no, because rap battles are actually really awesome. I really like rap battles because they're all about dissing the other person.
Yeah.
This is slam. Is you get up, you're by yourself, you and the audience. You say you're writing, or you deliver your poem, and that could be. It doesn't have to rhyme. My one didn't rhyme.
Is it something that is prepared, or are you given a topic?
No,
and you've
it's,
got
that's it's pre-prepared.
Okay,
yeah. It's
okay.
it's your writing. It's performing your writing.
Yeah.
I do improv as well, and I know how hard it is to improvise a poem, but it's fun.
Now, you're a full-time comedian.
Yep.
When are you going to get a real job?
I don't do well with real jobs.
How do you make comedy into a full-time career in this?
Well,
in
I've
this
got my
country.
Fingers in a lot of pies, so I can do. I learned magic when I was at uni.
Wow.
So I can do magic, and I'd have like a close-up magic show that I do in the corporate world. So you can get a few little corporate gigs here and there. And then the stand-up is really incredibly difficult to make a living out of, because it's seasonal as well. So I can during sort of Christmas season, I can get a lot of corporate gigs and things like that. But I write columns for like Beat magazine, so they look after me with that. And I've got a comic strip that I've written. So I make sure I'm creating a lot. So when I had a decision to make, and this happens probably once a year anyway, when I'm starving and it's been peanut butter on toast for a week, and I go, oh, what am I doing? I can decide, right, I can get a job, I can get a part-time job, I can get a full-time job, or I can just spend more time trying to promote the things I've created, because I feel like I've created enough and my products, my creations are good enough to sell. So I can just sit in my bedroom going, oh, I've got all these wonderful things that I feel like I've created.
As an artist, getting to that point is often very difficult for many people.
Yeah.
To that point where you actually acknowledge that what you produce, what you're good at, has value. The next hurdle is putting a price on it.
Yeah, that's hard.
Tell us about that for you.
Well, it's difficult.
Does it help with a manager or an agent?
Because it's always nice that they're doing all the hard stuff.
One step removed, sort of.
Yeah, because you're the fun guy. I'm going to create. It's going to be a great show. We're going to do this. And
just pay me.
We'll look after you. And I'll speak to my agent. Yeah, and when there's an issue, you don't have to say, oh, by the way, you should have paid me more. Yeah. So I've learned to, I guess, I certainly don't want to be famous in any sense. I just want to be visible
and self-sustaining.
Exactly. I know that when I say, listen, this is the value I place on it. So if I quote a gig, I say it's this much, and some people don't expect that from a comedian or a performer or a magician or whatever it was, especially with magic. When I was doing magic parties like bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, you give them a price, you say, just say, it's $400 for whatever, and they go, oh, we thought we'd just give you a meal and that it'd be... You're like, I've got to live off this. I can't... What, one meal?
Look, a good Jewish meal is worth at least
$400. The bagels are good, though. Oh, yeah. They are good bagels, I must say. I generally just say, listen, this is what I think it's worth. This is what it's worth. This is what the show's worth. If you don't have the budget for that, that's fine, but this is what it's worth. So even when I said... This is one of my little secrets for entertainers. Even when I send an invoice... Let's just say I've charged $1 million for something, right? And they say, look, we can't afford a meal. We can only pay you $600,000. I'm exaggerating. Yeah, yeah. I'm really not getting this
all
money.
The time.
One day, they say, we can only pay $600,000. You go, that's fine. You send them an invoice saying, the show is worth $1 million and say, discount $400,000, just so they know that what you're originally worth. And then they send
absolutely.
The discount.
I think that's an old business trick.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Because the free gigs you do, they treat you the worst. They don't.
And really should treat you the best.
Yeah, they should. You're doing them a favor, but it's totally just perceived value. So
how much drain is? And I don't mean that in a nasty way, but entertainers such as yourself. Are always getting asked to assist at fundraisers and events
they're
fine. Charity things.
Yeah, they're fine.
And I guess that helps promote you and refine all that.
Yeah.
But it can't take away from your core business.
Well, I, at the start of the year, select the charities and fundraisers I'm going to do.
Right.
So if someone during the year says, hey, can you come and do this date next week? I say, listen, I've got another gig, or I want to keep that open for a paid gig, but contact me at the end of the year and I'll put you on the list, and I'll set it up at the start of the year so that I know how many gigs that I'm doing, so I don't, you know, I starve and then you've got to run a fundraiser for me.
And you can genuinely say at the end of that process, look, I allocate X amount of my time per year and that is fully booked this year, but you are welcome to submit.
Yeah, of course.
What a great idea.
Yeah. But I generally have times during the year where I say, right, I've made enough this comedy festival or whatever. I'm going to spend the next month just contacting a bunch of Rotaries and Lions Clubs and saying, hey, guys, I've got shows for you. Because I think that's important. They're the people who support me and hire me throughout the other times of the year and say, now you've got these events on and it's end of financial year or whatever, or start a financial year and you don't have those budgets, I'm there to look after you. So it all comes around.
Who would have thought a Melbourne University graduate of psychology would become a full-time entertainer? Something in that for everybody, I'm sure. Simon, you have analysed Melbourne's coffee culture. We are, I think, amongst the world's greatest coffee snobs here, without a doubt.
Yep.
And
I've tried to sum it up.
When I was a kid, there were two types of coffee. There was instant and percolated.
Well, you're going to like this.
Yes, I moved to Melbourne and got told by my new Melbournean friends that what I was drinking, I was not allowed to refer to as coffee. I was, the closest I could come to it was coffee-inspired flavoured hot drink.
Right.
And I had to buy a coffee machine that I don't use, that they use when they come over for dinner.
To make coffee for themselves. Right,
yes,
okay.
I'm not allowed to make
it. Simon, you have psychoanalyzed this and put a little poem together, I believe.
All right, here we go. This is the full poem. This is inspired from my uni days and what I had to go through. I'm a Melbourne coffee maker. I've got a Bachelor of Arts. I'm a Melbourne coffee maker. I've got a Bachelor of Arts. I'm a Melbourne... Sorry, order's up. We've got a cafe latte, skinny latte, soy latte. A short black and a long Mac, a long black and a short Mac. We've got a weak cappuccino, a normal cappuccino, a strong, silent, masculine Al Pacino. We got a double shot short black and a flat white light roast, an organic mocha latte, a fair trade mochaccino, an organic fair trade mocha frappuccino with extra chocolate. We got another short black, but this customer wants you to call it an espresso because that sounds more continental. We got a home style coffee, a broken home style coffee, a baby chino and a mama chino and a papa chino for Goldilocks and table 9. Ice coffee, hold the ice, affogato with an extra scoop of ice cream, but dairy free. A large cafe latte, take away 1 sugar. A regular flat white, take away 2 sugars. A long black in a small takeaway container, but to have here no sugar, 3 artificial sweeteners. We got an English coffee, Irish coffee, brandy coffee, Russian coffee, Jamaican coffee, Shinshich coffee, Bailey's Irish cream, Seville coffee, Witch's coffee, Monk's coffee, Priest coffee, Calypso coffee, Kyoki coffee, Coffee coffee, Cafe coffee, Cafe Coretto, and Americano. A weak, skinny, decaf cappuccino in a magnato heart with a froth on the side and a soy. Joy! Latte.
Well, I've got to say, that
I've
is...
I've got a Bachelor of Arts.
That is extraordinary.
Thanks.
I think that was the single order from my friend's table on a Sunday morning at Proud Mary.
It's an average morning, isn't it? I don't know how barista, and now they've got a name, baristas, how they get through it because people are so finicky about it too. If it's wrong, they go nuts.
Yeah, for their rate of pay, it's ridiculous stress.
Yes, mind you, you know, you can pay, what, up to $9 for a cup of coffee these days.
$9? Yes. Who's paying that? What are you doing?
If you go to the basement of a certain high-end retailer here in the
city... What do they put in that coffee? That can't just be coffee.
But I don't think Dean's ever had just coffee.
That is a little insight to your talents.
Yeah, and, that's in the show.
And excellent talents they are.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you very much for that. Just a taste of Simon Taylor. 10 Things I Know About You is the show. It's on at the Butterfly Club, part of the Comedy Festival for 2012. It kicks off Wednesday, the 28th of March, through to Sunday, the 22nd of April. Simon Taylor, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And you can find out more information by going to comedyfestival.com.au. You're with Dean Beck and Avi Miller. This is Word for Word across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Word for Word. Delve into the extraordinary lives of everyday people.
Word for Word. Challenging, inspiring, engaging and entertaining. Broadcast live on Joy 94.9 Sundays from 11 a.m. and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.